This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com, and joining me for another episode where we pick ourselves up and go again, to quote one of the former legendary Aston Villa managers of recent time, Mr. Chris Bird and Mr. Phil Shaw.
Hello. How are you doing?
Hello.
Oh, you chaps don't sound as chipper as you did after the United victory.
Well, no.
Oh, too much expectation going into this one. We thought we were just going to turn up at that beautiful stadium and slap them about,
as a few people on Twitter had said we should be doing. Wrong.
We will get into this Spurs game as the main point of the show, as usual. I was at the game. I managed to get a deal online, one of these vouchery companies that offered up like the basic hospitality package for, it was less than half price. It was like it was the same price as it cost me to go to the Spurs Villa game, the first game, you know, the first season we were back in the Premier League, because as well as the ticket price, I had to pay for Spurs membership to get in the home end on that day. So similar price, you know, around 100 quid. Jesus Christ, it's another world.
The future.
It's like it makes Villa Park et al. Like a medieval village. It's quite unbelievable. I mean, I was saying to you guys before we started the show, a friend who I went with, he actually has two bars in London, tequila bars. They're kind of quite cool bars. And so, you know, he knows about hospitality. And he must have said about eight times during the game and before and after, like, unbelievable. I don't believe this. This is unbelievable. It really is another level of living. And I'm sorry, but prawn cocktail sandwiches are not good enough for the type of shenanigans they have going on at the Spurs setup. They'll just turn their noses up at prawn cocktail sandwiches. They've got like Asian fusion restaurants, sushi restaurants. It's just crazy in there. But a great deal. Keep your eyes out on the internet, because it seems to be there's this world that I didn't really know about, the hospitality world. And there seems there's always the fine dining right at the top kind of setups, which cost loads of money, but there's a basic level where they try to get the bodies in there, and sometimes it's hard for them to fill, so they do drastically reduced amounts. And, you know, as a solution to get in away games, because tickets obviously don't get past the people who go to away games all the time, it is an opportunity to see away games, and obviously have another experience. But molten brown, you get to wash your hands with molten brown hand cream. It's ridiculous. It's not football as I used to know it.
It's the modern moisturized game.
Yeah, but good. You didn't give a shit about the game, ultimately.
Luckily.
Half time, mate, because you get a half time beer thrown in, and they just leave them around. They just basically leave them on tabletops, like hundreds of beers. And so if we were like 3-0, 4-0 down against Spurs at half time, no way you would have seen me. I would have just been minesweeping around that place, collecting the beers, and you'd have got your money's worth back, no problem. And you'd probably have to be stretched out of the place as well at the end of it, but hey ho. Anyway, how are you chaps? What have you been up to?
Not bad. Up with the family back up north this weekend, so it was nice to see the nephews and build a massive, huge tower out of Lego.
Did you saw the Bond film, did you not?
I did. I saw it on Friday night.
Any good? Spare us the details, but...
Pretty good. Score's good. Some very good bits.
People talking about it's too long.
A little bit. They probably could have shaved 10 minutes off, but it's not bad.
A good film, the longer the better, but I think length only is a bore if it's a shit film.
Yeah, it's okay in that sense, but it's a good way to sort of box off the Daniel Craig era, and it'll be very interesting to see where they go now. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I interviewed Daniel Craig for Quantum of Solace. I think I'll tell a story on the Patreon-only podcast because I can trust those guys more. I can trust those listeners more, so I can be a bit more explicit. But yeah, I'll save it for that. The next My Old Man Saw, we will mention it on that. Phil Shaw, how's life in the Monaco of the UK?
It's not bad. Just to prove it's
so
Monaco.
Blasé about it now.
Oh, it's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, just to...
Yachts, yeah. Supermodels, yeah.
That's the thing. This will tell you all you need to know.
Hold on a minute. Do you walk around wearing one of those visors that, like, table tennis players wear? You know, like, wearing shorts, one of those visors.
And a cricket jumper over your shoulders.
Yeah, cricket jumper over your shoulder. That's how I imagine your life in the Monaco of the UK.
We're aspiring to be like that, but we haven't just got the temperature yet. We haven't got the climate for that. A bit more tweed.
And layers. Layers are sexy.
You were telling me...
Yeah, so just to show how much of the Monaco of the UK it is, the bar that I was at on Friday night, just an after-works drink session, the very next day, Mr. Frank Lampard was at it and getting his photo taken everywhere, so good taste we have.
He's obviously heard it's the place to be, this Monaco of the UK.
Yeah, certainly is.
Word is getting out. Right, coming up on the show, we will have the latest Villa news. We get into the 3 points as usual. Oh, sandwiched in between those is the latest Media Muppet section. Before we get on to... there's a theme with this Spurs at the new stadium. We only beat them when Villa fans aren't allowed in, it seems. So it's two losses when fans are in.
And you're not going to turn down that kind of hospitality, so we're going to have a bad record there for the foreseeable.
Well, if that offer stays on, I mean, I can't. You can't downgrade after that. Oh, I couldn't imagine life. Tell you what, I was sitting in my seat and just thinking, because I wanted to go and see Usyk Joshua like a couple of years ago. I was thinking, if they fight, I want to go and see that. But then I just was put off with a big stadium. The idea of watching boxing at a big stadium, it's, you know, too far away. But I think the seating there is pretty good. So I think, you know, looking at players on the halfway line, if they were fighting, then yeah, actually it would have been all right. Anyway,
of course,
I digress.
Your next visit's the Jets, who actually won for once. What the hell happened there?
Yes. Well, they tried everything to lose. I mean, that's another story. That's another podcast if we ever did a NFL podcast, heaven forbid. Right, anyway, let's get into this show. Before we get into it, though, just a shout out to Free Trade, the commission free trading app, for supporting the show. Free Trade, from my experience, one of the easiest ways to manage and run your share portfolio. And also it's commission free and it's very easy to use. By signing up to Free Trade, once you fund your account, you will get a free share from the value of £3 to £200. Remember, like with all investments, your capital is at risk and the value of your portfolio may go down as well as up, and you may get back less than what you invest. But at the same time, September is a time when... the market crashes, so if you get on board now at the beginning of October, let's say the biggest stocks, the more fashionable tech stocks, are probably at a better price now, so it's a pretty good time to get involved. For more information, please go to freetrade.io/moms. freetrade.io/moms. Right, well, we're on a bit of housekeeping. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at My Old Man Said, or join the Mad Few Facebook group. Well, you could join the Mad Few Facebook group if Facebook wasn't down, but hopefully by the time you listen to this, it will be revived. That's why we always recommend people sign up as My Old Man Said patrons and join Match Club, because Match Club is pretty much nuclear proof. It's like a
Just join us in the bunker.
Underground nuclear bunker, away from all social media. It's a better world. It's a utopian world. When all these social media companies become defunct and burned to the ground, as they seem to be doing in the last 24 hours, we'll be there to embrace you.
With a finger buffet and free drinks.
Well, maybe not. Right, I think it's time for some news. Yeah, I'll just give you another choice. Talk about the Pandora Papers leak of almost 12 million documents that reveals hidden wealth, tax avoidance, and in some cases money laundering by some of the world's rich and powerful. Or we can do the Villa news.
Now the only reason I would want the other one is if like Wes Edens is in the Pandora Papers link, but let's go.
is he
I don't think so.
What most people don't realize is there's another echelon of people, richer people who run things, and the way they can get away with all this, because most people at the same time as this happening and this leak, maybe they've caused it on purpose to distract people from it.
Ooh.
You know, oh, Facebook and WhatsApp has gone down, and that's what preoccupies, you know, let's say most people. And so the people on the upper echelons of society, the rich and powerful, can just get away with all this money laundering and tax avoidance because it's a bit above other people's comprehension, perhaps. And when such leaks happen, there always seems to be an event to distract. That's my conspiracy theory for this show.
Yeah, let's just go with the Villa news.
Oh, well, it's a bit boring, the Villa news this week. There's not much happening. We should have gone with the Pandora Papers.
Socios.
You had an option here. The Villa news was really scarce, and we could have, page by page, gone through the 12 million documents of the Pandora Papers.
And I know you do like editing long podcasts as well, so that could have been a nice week's work for
you. Well, you've gone for the Villa news there, so unfortunately the listeners aren't going to get a 28-hour podcast if you'd chosen the other option. First up, Martinez and Nakamba called up for their international duties. It has been revealed they are double jabbed, so these new rules, you know, they just create the rules. As they get, you know, here we go again. The rich and powerful get new, fresh rules just dedicated for themselves, with shortened quarantine periods and all this kind of stuff. But still, it seems, is it a grey area still? Because the last time Dean Smith spoke about this, he mentioned the double jab thing, but was still a bit, maybe should, it was all a bit grey. It wasn't definitive. And, you know, if Martinez plays all three of the Argentines' game, as we spoke about in Something for the Weekend,
he won't be surely back for Wolves.
He's not going to be back for Wolves, is he? So it must be a two-game deal for him.
You would hope so. You would hope
yeah,
so.
And if he's not back for Wolves, then it's like we are a bunch of flakies, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. I'll be pissed off if he doesn't play in that game, to be honest.
This is why we're not going to win anything. If it's a mentality. You've got to be, you know, ruthless to win, as we found out against United. You know, Martinez and Luis were doing their shithousery stuff, and you know that is the winning mentality. It doesn't, you know, sometimes it's not nice, and some people get put out. But ultimately, that's how you do it. And if he's not there for that Wolves game, I will be pissed off. Also, as a ticket paying customer who keeps turning up on the ground, and people are missing for various reasons, and you know, ultimately, I'm paying to see Villa trying to win games. The first result of the controversial Villa socios fan tokens, where they had a vote to name a road at Bodymore Heath to commemorate the 40th anniversary of our 1982 European Cup triumph. Was it Mortimer Avenue, Withway and Rotterdam Lane?
Yeah.
And Withway was the winner. Withway got 39% of the votes. Rotterdam Lane got 32.75%. And Mortimer Avenue, which I voted for actually, got 28.25%. I don't know. Do you think this is an adoption thing? It's only just started, so people are moaning. Season ticket holders, the only thing you've got to do is download the app and you can access a free
you
socio.
You can't actually access it at the moment.
Why not? I did.
I cannot. Socios are not letting you do it because of the campaign isn't active, apparently.
It's
very clunky.
Mine's all right.
Is it for these Luddites who can't use crypto apps?
Is it the token you can't get, or is it the app? The app's whack.
No, the app's fine. The app's fine. The token, it does not let you do it. It says at the moment, the campaign, obviously to sign up for Villa, It says it's unavailable. It's not active.
Well, I converted mine. No props. You just put the code in.
I did put the code in.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Maybe it's because I've got a funded account. Maybe that could be a thing.
No idea.
Anyway, Chris Budd unhappy about that. He wanted to vote on that.
I mean, I wasn't asked about voting, but...
We've spoken about this on a previous show, and touch on it more. I mean, there's still the issue that when I mentioned this to Purslow 18 months ago, they said they wouldn't do such a thing in terms of having fan engagement tokenized. But here we are without any fan consultation, and they signed up to it. Other clubs have rejected it. West Ham infamously were the first up, and they, after a fan backlash, got rid of it.
Yeah, and Leeds fans are well against it, aren't they, as well, apparently.
There's one particular guy who runs a Twitter page and writes loads of articles about it, so that might sway the perception that everybody's against it. But there's a discussion to be had, because I think looking further into the future, when you know you've got collectibles and NFTs and everything, this is something that all football clubs will probably have, and this is probably the entry point into that. We shall see. Meanwhile, the women's team lost at Villa Park in their showcase game against title contenders Arsenal 4-0. You may remember last season when they needed a point from Arsenal in the last game. They managed to get it, actually, and this game was 0-0 at half time. So you thought, oh, Villa have really showing signs of progression.
It was three goals in the last 10 minutes, though, so they put a good account of themselves in, and then I think Arsenal's superiority showed.
Phil Shaw had a heart attack when he saw his former favourite player playing for Arsenal.
Yeah. Let's just hope it's not a sign for the times for this season of ex-players doing something like that.
And a good turnout as well. It was about 5,000 in the ground, apparently. So it was their highest women's gate, which is good progress for them.
It's a shame on these showcase, well, I call it a showcase because, you know, eyeballs to the game, that it always helps when you win, doesn't it, to encourage repeats. Meanwhile, the under-23s drew against Wolves 0-0, which most people thought, how is that possible that we would not score at least 7 or 8 in the under-23s
game? Yeah, the previous game, yeah.
After we stuffed Stoke 8-0. I think it always depends on who's in the team, because if you get two or three of the, let's say, the guys that appear in the first team match day squad, then you're perhaps going to do well in these games.
Yeah, no, it's Stoke. They had Philogene Badais, both the Chukwuekas, Aaron Ramsey played. So they had a couple of good...
They were just handing out hat-tricks, weren't they?
Yeah.
Right, that's it for the Villa news. A bit of a quiet one, and we are now in the international break. So hopefully all we'll hear in the international break is how Leon Bailey is ready to play again, and Morgan Sanson has made an amazing recovery. And we start the rest of the month with a full deck, but we know that's not possible because we are Aston Villa. Right, now it's time for Media Muppets. Right, what's in the Media Muppet trough this week, Mr. Shaw?
Well, we're aiming high this week because we've taken a slight detour from Villa. We've got...
Higher than a Daily Mirror?
Well, I think it's more the subject matter. I think we'll go for Lionel Messi instead. So that's going to be as high as you can get. So I knew I was on the Muppet column here whenever I saw that it was the Daily Mirror, and the person that wrote it, Chris Doyle, whose job title was a sports agenda writer. So that immediately set alarm bells ringing. I mean, what's a sports agenda writer?
Chris, do you know?
No.
I mean, at Reach, that's the home of the Daily Mirror and the Birmingham Mail, etc., etc., they have engagement editors, and they're all very specific. It's all about metrics, isn't it? Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, so the headline was, Lionel Messi's recent conduct speaks volumes after disrespectful Man City gesture. Now, again, I watched the match and I'm thinking, what did I miss here? Did he flip Pep the Bird after scoring the winner or something? I mean, I would have noticed that. It would have been great. But no, what happened was, it was labelled disrespectful after Messi acted as the draft excluder on a free kick for Paris Saint-Germain.
The draft excluder, for those who are unaware of the terminology, is when they have a free kick and somebody lies down behind the wall to prevent the occurrence of a grass-cutting free kick, like a low and hard shot.
Yeah, so it all came from just one single quote from Rio Ferdinand, who on BT Sport said, the moment Pochettino asked him to do that in the training ground, somebody should have said, no, this can't happen to Messi. It's disrespectful. I wouldn't have it. So what part of it was disrespectful to Man City? So they've taken the word disrespectful from Rio Ferdinand. Lionel Messi did it, and they were playing Man City, and they've just concocted this headline that sounds better than it is.
Yeah, well, I mean, as I said, I mean, I actually wrote a Media Muppets column for the first time for a year, I noticed. I think it's about
time. A welcome return as well, David.
Yes, thank you. I think it's the time that returned because the gates of hell have been left open in that year. It's time to try to close them again. I mean, as I wrote in there, it's almost like... There's another title of employment there, and that's just the headline writer, because that's the most important thing if you work there, because the actual content is just superfluous. Time for the 3 points. First of all, number one, fuel crisis is hitting the lower leagues. Well, when you say lower league, is that non-league?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
More than 50 non-league football matches have been postponed due to the fuel supply issues in various areas of the UK.
Yes, because there was matches in the Isthmian League and Southern League. The tiers below the National League were called off. Clubs were informed on Sunday by the league that they would be allowed to postpone fixtures midweek if there were concerns over getting staff or volunteers to matches due to the crisis. So you have to think about it, not just, you know, the team. I mean, one bus, there should be enough fuel for a bus, but the referees at that level have to get there, the linesmen have to get there, you know, stewards for the grounds, things like that. It's just this, like, a knock-on effect. They can't just have one big fun bus for everyone.
The whole, is it the 9th and 10th tier of non-league football, the Southern Combination Football League, was the whole thing was postponed, wasn't it, to fuel-related issues. Point number two, Watford have appointed Claudio Ranieri. He's back. The reason why I threw this in the 3 points is because he's the 14th managerial change under these Watford owners, the Ponzo scheme. Is it the Ponzi scheme?
I was thinking more, it was like the author of The Godfather. That was like Mario Puzo or something.
The Puzo family, and they took over in 2012, so 9 years.
Bonkers.
Just while we're here, in comparison, Dean Smith is the 6th longest serving Premier League manager, 17th overall. He's behind Bielsa, Farke, Guardiola, Klopp, and your main man, Sean Dyche, who just got another contract, and he's going to have to be 6 foot under before he leaves that job, probably. Right, number three, Saint-Étienne fan was arrested for trying to smuggle flares into their derby game with Lyon. Did he have it down his underpants?
He did. He had it in his boxers. So
his wife runs.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is just the latest in the story. The French football Ligue 1 seems to be sort of every week, there seems to be sort of crowd trouble, hooliganism.
Big incidents, aren't they, as well? These aren't like just minor skirmishes. These are big, like, game stoppages and stuff.
Yes, because there was even one recently there in the Europa League game between Marseille and Galatasaray. But the funny thing about this one is, as well as the pyro in his pocket, the funny thing was that there was no away fans in this game, so he brought the pyro purely for, you know, the benefit of the home fans there. So it's a sad state of affairs. You can see why Sanson maybe was in a hurry to get out. He maybe doesn't like a hostile atmosphere.
There was at least two smoke bombs went off below me when Ollie Watkins scored. So Spurs is... pat downs, obviously not effective.
Not as thorough, anyway. No boxers were harmed during the pat down.
Which takes us on to the Spurs game. In terms of result, it was after Lord Mayor's show, but it wasn't really an anticlimax after playing United, because this was a real opportunity to lay put down a marker.
Put another marker down, exactly.
I mean, it would be two top away wins, and, you know, throw in the Everton game as well, that who were unbeaten by the time when we played them. It's, you know, a run of three very, very good wins. But alas not, despite the wonderful day of sunshine, although there was a bit of rain at the second half. I mean, I don't know if that affected the atmosphere, because I thought the atmosphere at times was a bit flat. The performance didn't help. But also, if you know, if a lot of fans have got their hand above their eyes trying to shield them from the sun, it kind of does distract you from, clapping and singing and whatever. So that might have had played a bit into it. Just while we're here, I think we mentioned in one of the previous shows about the COVID, asking for vaccination, NHS proof, and tests, etc. I was actually asked to it when I went in. So like Villa Park, they also have coverage problems when it comes to mobile phones. So I couldn't actually open the app. But they said, actually, it doesn't matter at this time, but we're just kind of warning you for the future when it actually does come in properly. So at the moment, it was like a dress rehearsal.
Right. Got you.
So just keep an eye on that, because obviously we've got to, you know, we're going to Arsenal at the end of this month as well.
And we've got, you know, we've got winter approaching now where all grounds may have to enforce this stuff.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah. So going into this game, were you confident? I mean, I was confident. I thought we would have a good crack. I not necessarily mean we would win, but I expected if Spurs were to win this, they'd have to play very well.
Yeah, I was sort of cautiously optimistic. I actually had thought in the back of my head this one might be a draw. It almost felt a little bit like, I spoke to a friend of mine about this, at the because we went to Old Trafford and won, it almost felt like a little bit of pressure was off, because we'd had that run of games where we knew we had some difficult away games, but because we won one of them, we were kind of up. We were already ahead of par, shall I say.
Phil?
Yeah, I mean, when we were in Match Club, they were quietly confident. You could tell there was an air, but there was, I mean, you don't want to say Spursy, it's what, Villa-y, you might say. There was that feeling that now we had, it's almost like the hard work was over when it came to Spurs, which was, you know, a team that you thought they could really have a go at. You thought, is this almost like a banana skin? Is this the one that something's going to go wrong?
Well, I mean, any team with Kane and Son is not a banana skin, is it?
Nah, they've still got class, and their front three is superb still.
Lloris as well is a top keeper. It's you know, it's a decent team. It's just a team that for whatever reason was a bit under the weather, just mentally, I think, in recent times.
But you couldn't have picked a better time to play them, unfortunately. But
yeah, that's what I was thinking. This is a good time to play them. And as it panned out, the first 20 minutes, the initial 15, 20 minutes was a period where it was just like watching Villa against Everton in the first 60-odd minutes against Manchester United for, you know, most of the game, where they're in reasonable control of the game and having a decent constructive possession in the final third of the opposition, but just the same problem. They just weren't making that control of the game count.
Yeah, well, I thought that the first half especially, it was almost as if the Villa players were pumped up in energy drink when they went out, because it was so frantic, and you know, they didn't take the extra touch in the ball when they needed to make sure some of the passes, especially in the final third, were going all over the place.
It felt like we'd started well, and you could tell that the Spurs crowd, who kind of rightfully, with the way they've been playing, were not necessarily turning on the team, but you could sense there was some anxiety on and off the field. And that was a real opportunity for Villa, because you think, actually, if you'd have gone there, quietened the crowd down and got the first goal, I think you would have been in business. And we kind of, after that initial good start, I think we almost invited them on a little bit, and we lost our control a little bit. And I think Smith said as much after the game, that it was a bit ragged. Neither team was great. We just basically spent a lot of the rest of the game giving the ball away loosely.
Yeah, because I thought we played like really in that first game when we came back to the Premier League, we played really well in the initial stages, and then faded because of the effort put in. But also Spurs went through the gears and just took it to us. This time, Spurs, they weren't, you know, really turning on. It was just individual, you know, Kane was making a reasonable fist of it. But in the end, it was, you know, Son that just turned on the afterburners a couple of times. And he was the difference, ultimately. I think if Son wasn't playing, Spurs don't win that game. But at the same time, if Spurs played well, I think they would have won that game comfortably. But if Villa played well, Spurs were there for the take, and it was just basically who wanted it.
Yeah.
And who made the mistakes? You know, those key moments, Spurs were kind of clinical in front of goal. You know, the first goal, when it comes to him, it's not a great piece of defending, but actually, you know, Højbjerg puts it away well. It's a nice finish into the bottom corner. And then, of course, they sort of get a little bit of confidence and go, right, we're right in the game now. And the same, and obviously, when Villa got the equaliser, you think, right, you know, 67 minutes, you've got plenty of time here to just stay calm. You've got the game level, having not played particularly well in patches.
It's like you've finally taken a chance. But just going back a bit, I mean, looking at other chances, the attempted lob on Martinez, that was probably their best chance before the goal. I mean, I was joking to my friend, they should have tried that. You know, when they take the knee just before the kickoff, and they do it now that it's so quick and they kick off straight away, the guy should just have a shot straight away, because Martinez is getting up from his knee. I think that's the way to do it.
It's worth a try just for shits and giggles.
Yeah, because that was like it was a halfway line job when he tried to lob him there. But I was thinking, if he did that when Martinez was taking the knee, he would definitely score, because there's no way he could like jump up off one leg. Something for footballers to try going forward, I think. But yeah, no, it's a bitsy game. And as I said, the first key thing was Son just elevated Spurs to the win. But the second thing was just scoring straight after Villa equalised. Because you could see the celebration of Villa. They were really happy about that equaliser, because I think they saw this game, that it was drifting away from them, even though they looked, especially in the early stages, as the better team and certainly had done enough to get something from the game. So there was a lot of relief in that celebration. What I did like is how Ings seemed to be so happy that Watkins had scored. There seems to be a bit of a good bond there. And Ings has been more selfless in the last few games.
Yeah, and it's important, you know, regardless of the result, to have Watkins up and running, who's probably had a kind of a difficult start to the season. Really, it's possibly that, you know, difficult second season syndrome, because you know he's not an unknown quantity now.
Well, also he missed the initial games.
Yeah, but, you know, to get yourself level with plenty of time to go, you think just be calm. And Smith had said the same after the game, that, you know, you get yourself level, you've got time to just control the game a little bit. And Villa didn't. They kind of went around like headless chickens.
Yeah,
were way too open, and it's not. You know, Son does really well when he gets into the position, but Villa are far too open, and they really invite Tottenham to just run through them at ease. And then obviously once Son gets into the position he gets into, you back him to deliver, and he does. And if Target doesn't put it through his own goal, Moura's going to score anyway.
I thought that back three looked really open this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The idea of playing three at the back is, you know, most Villa fans were thinking when he first switched to that was it was negative and it was really a five at the back. But Son was just running into that space between that outside centre-back and the full-back, which is a bit of a, from a defensive point of view, limbo, who's going to be covering that patch? You've got a full-back and an outside centre-back thinking about it, while Son's just going, right, that is indecision, I'm just going straight down it. And, you know, he turns on the after burners and he creates panic.
No, I don't think Cash had his best game in that position.
No, from the space is the thing you can say, because from the very first minute, there was just so much. I mean, it was almost as if the pitch was bigger. There was so much more space than there seemed at Old Trafford. I mean, the three in midfield, I'm sure we'll get on to in a moment, they didn't work as a three. They were very much three individuals. Nobody helped each other out in midfield. They were all, you know, they were isolated each time. There's like two Spurs players on each Villa midfielder. And then when you get to the back three, I mean, I noticed very early on, Mings was far too high up the pitch. And it's not a criticism of him. It's obviously a tactic, because the three of them weren't as a unit as they were against United. There was always one of them that was stepping into midfield to try and sort of like force the issue.
And against Chelsea, we got caught out because they were doing it then. We got caught out against Chelsea when one of the centre-backs was out of position and was further up. Happened at least for a couple of those goals.
Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint what happens. Is it the fullbacks are far too high, and then one of the centre backs goes to whatever side the ball goes to and leaves, you know, two centre backs exposed, or it's almost just like a balance issue. It's just space, and it's leaving like a very dangerous channel to attack into.
Speaking of space, from where I was watching, I could see there was a lot of space when Spurs got it down the line and they played it back. They would have midfielders just outside the box, there'd be two or three of them, like, in open space for a pullback. And it's like either our centre-backs, they were dropping off too deep, or our midfielder weren't covering the runners coming in. And luckily, Spurs didn't really take advantage of this, but they got themselves, two or three times. There were two or three Spurs players crying out for it on the edge of that box in, ample space. And you just thought, this is just from the width, through the centre. It just seems, as you said, it's like the pitch had expanded or something. There just seemed to be too much space. And Villa got so focused on that early 15 minutes where they were spent a lot of time in the Spurs half. I mean, Spurs struggled to get it over the halfway line in the first 10 minutes or so, that it's almost led the Villa defensive organisation into a sense of false security, and they forgot about their defensive duties.
Yeah, it was very much like Brighton at home last season, whenever they were caught nearly everybody in the opposition half when Danny Welbeck scored that goal. It just had that feel about it. I mean, that game finished 2-1 as well. As soon as Villa had equalised, Brighton went up the pitch and scored their second. So there's a lot of similarities in that game. Just, too eager.
Yeah, I mean, I would have been happy if they, let's say, their mentality went to defensive after 1-1. But I know Smith likes to bring on Archer for his one touch. He got one touch again. It's
bizarre.
It's bizarre. I like the idea. Brought him on for Ings this time, but there's going to be a new touch count if he's not careful. He needs to bring him on probably a bit earlier. I mean,
it's going to be a new game at least. The what did Cameron Archer do with his one touch meter?
I mean, he had they had 5 minutes of injury time, so he did technically have 7 minutes on the pitch for his one touch.
Yeah, you just wonder. I mean, Smith made the decision to bring... He had Buendia ready whenever the equaliser went in, and he carried on and brought him ahead. So it was a positive move again, but it didn't really change the shape. So you're still open to the same problems. Would it have been a Buendia and Nakamba on maybe to, have Nakamba sitting deep to sort of give the back three a bit of help?
Or even to go to a sort of a more of like a 4-2-3-1 as we played last season. And actually give Spurs, not right now we're level, give them something different to think about.
I mean, tracing back to the start of the game, I was expecting Buendia to play this game. I just thought you can stay sentimental with Ramsey, but it was a 50-50. I thought I'd like to see Buendia start this game, because if we're going to be on the ball, if we want to try to keep the ball away from them, I think Buendia's better at doing that. But, he's probably thinking, well, has Ramsey lost the shirt yet? No. So, he had a good shift against United. And, in this game, he got that tackle in that set up Watkins' goal. Just thinking, McGinn, Ramsey, Louise, is there enough potential for end product there? I mean, Louise hasn't scored for a very long time. Ramsey hasn't scored and hasn't looked likely when he's had his chances. And McGinn, he tried to recreate the Sheffield Wednesday almost with that kind of side foot volley, which actually was closer than I thought it was.
It was very close. It had
certainly a better volley than Buendia's efforts.
Well, he's got the technique, McGinn, definitely, hasn't he? But yeah, Buendia, I think he needs to start. We haven't seen him start for a while, so that will be interesting. But I think he might start him above Ramsey next game, because he's hooked Ramsey pretty early there.
You'd hope with the international break and that little bit of time that it would give us, Wolves might be the first time we see what Smith actually thinks is his best side.
Yeah.
Although whenever we're signed Buendia, I wasn't expecting to see him right in the middle of the park. I was expecting to see him far more advanced.
When I'm talking about Buendia in this formation, I'm talking about him as the head of the three in the midfield.
Yeah, he has to be the guy who runs the show for you, essentially. He's your number 10.
But the thing is, when you have this formation with the five at the back, the three in the middle, they don't have they're fluid. They don't have a set person there. I think if you're going to play Buendia in the middle or in that 10 position, I think you do need to change the formation slightly or put a more. I think you're going to need to put Nakamba further back, McGinn in the middle, and Buendia at the tip.
Or give Louise less license to bomb on.
Well, it depends who you trust to be the last man back in that midfield. If you would rather have Louise or Nakamba, it's one or the other. It's up to Smith.
I thought the Spurs game was potentially a Nakamba game, actually. I remember the game, obviously, there last season. I think, if I remember rightly, he was probably the best player on the field.
Yeah.
And I thought, he gives you that protection. And I don't know, I think there's certain games where you can bring certain guys in to do a certain role. And I understand why Smith didn't change it. I do get that. And I actually would agree with it normally in terms of you don't want to change a team that's just gone to Old Trafford and won deservedly. However, if you've got specific assignments for players, you know, for a very specific role against the team, I think you've got to be confident in your squad, your match day squad, to make those ruthless decisions and go, actually, I need you next week at Tottenham. I don't need you this week. That was something that Ferguson always used to do back in the day. Yeah. He'd have someone like a Park Ji-sun and say, I don't need you on Saturday. I don't need you on Tuesday. But in 2 weeks' time, we've got Real Madrid and I need you for a very specific role. And I think you need to trust Nakambra or whoever to kind of give them, to make them feel like they're the go-to guy for certain things, which maybe they're not at the moment.
Right. You know what happens when we lose a game?
Ah, yes.
Somebody has to pay the piper. In this case, we're going to line all the starting 11 up. And one of them has to reveal their hidden wealth, tax avoidance, and money laundering. Basically, they have to show us their pages of the Pandora Papers report. Which player is it?
Sounds like a Villa team trip to Turks and Caicos. It sounds great fun.
Which player has to declare their tax avoidance? Phil Shaw.
I was hoping you weren't going to ask me because it's not as clear cut as normal.
Got to be one.
All right, if I'm being ruthless, I'm going to have to go for Cash. I'm going to have to go for Matty Cash because I feel that with Son doing the damage that he did, mostly down that side, Cash needed to tuck in a bit more.
I'd agree with that, to be honest.
I think he got more excited about what he could potentially do going forward and not realising he was up against probably one of the best players in the world, definitely top five.
Certainly one of the best players in the league. For sure.
Well, if he's the best, one of the best in the Premier League, I think he's one of the best. I mean, this is what I don't get, is Manchester City going after Grealish and Kane when you might as well just get Son.
Yeah.
That would be the better buy. But he'd be better than both of them, or, you know, cheaper, or better than either or.
Yes, and you only have to look at his intelligence in the last, 5 minutes of the match. He single-handedly kept the ball in that corner flag for the
killed
last
the game,
5 minutes.
Didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, that was quite astounding, actually, because when I saw it, I thought, oh, that's it. Because I said to my friend, I was about to say to you, as long as we get one more chance, you know, surely. And I said, we're not going to get another chance, are we? Look at him. And he knew how to get the 3 points there. But yeah, Manchester City, I'm surprised they didn't go for him. Rather than courting the other two, probably the funniest chant of the game is when they sang, the Villa fans sang to the Spurs fans, towards Harry Kane, you should have fucked off with Grealish. You should have fucked off with Grealish, fucked off with Grealish.
I think he knows.
So Cash is the answer.
I think
I'll back you boys up and find out where he's been storing his... well, he's probably... I don't know.
Pumping it on into Boohoo stocks, isn't he, or something?
Caffeine shampoo.
Yeah, no, I was going to say he's got some tax avoidance scheme just to save up for his hair transplant.
The same people who did the Shane Warne one.
I can't remember seeing that. As in the Aussie cricketer?
Yeah, as in the Aussie cricketer, yeah.
I thought he had a full lock of... Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Graham Gooch as well.
Oh, is he had a transplant as well? Yeah. I can't believe we're weaving in cricket here through the through the back door of hair transplants.
It's a fully rounded podcast.
I haven't even went to Jimmy Wade yet in snooker.
Yeah, let's not go there. Right, stat of the game to finish off this game. It's not that memorable. The most memorable thing for me was my actual you know, experience of the stadium at this time rather than the actual game. But stat of the game?
Yes, the stat of the game. Well, this just tells the story of the game. Going into the game, Spurs had the fewest shots of any team in the league with 56 for this season. So for them to get 17 in one game, especially against Villa, whose strength previous podcast we've mentioned had been limiting opposition shots, just shows how much Spurs stepped up or how much we allowed them to.
Well, you say that, but is Villa's strength really limited opposition shots? Because United had over 20.
Certainly blocking them.
Yeah, I think their strength is blocking them. I don't think it's limiting as in the taking of, because we seem to... give up a lot of shots, because if you watch Villa, they do block a hell of a lot of shots. So it's not as if they're stopping chances, as in the build-up of chances. It's like they're stopping them actually when they've executed, don't they?
Yeah,
I know what you mean.
Right, to end the show, we will finish on a burning question. Let's do three quick ones. First one, Jordan O'Brien: should we have signed Tammy instead of Ings, costs less, younger, and also already knows the club, etc. Already knows the club, I don't know what that actually means. Doesn't really mean much when you're Danny Ings and you're a top class finisher.
And he knows Villa Park really well, Danny Ings, because he always scores there.
Yeah, exactly. He's probably scored more goals at Villa Park than Tammy Abraham has. Tammy Abraham, by the way, he wouldn't have cost less than
no
Ings.
Chance.
That's a fallacy.
A very high amount more.
Probably Abraham's a little bit similar to Watkins. I think Ings is a different player and should complement Watkins a bit more. I never was vouching for the Tammy Abraham. His price just kept going up and going up every season, and when that was happening, I was thinking, yeah, maybe not. I mean, he may do well in Italy, but it's a different league, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, very much so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's the prognosis? I say no.
No.
You have to take yourself back to the time, not the fucking hindsight. I don't think Villa fans have got as much of a lift after Grealish leaving with Abraham signing as we did with Ings signing.
Ings was a statement.
Yeah. Well, how many goals would Danny Ings have scored in the Championship that season, if you want to put it like that? Everybody has fond memories of Tammy Abraham, but like
30 goals a season striker.
Yeah, like we said, it took Tammy five chances for that one goal. If Ings got those five chances, he's probably scoring five goals.
Yeah, four at least. let's not get ahead of ourselves. Right then, Interpol asks, is Matt Target capable of taking on a man one versus one?
No.
Next question. Yeah, he's a man of the overlap, isn't he? Rather
he's a man
than
of the overlap, and he does that, really well.
Yeah, rather than the I'm coming at you, boy.
Yeah,
Armin, would you start Buendia next game? If so, replacing who? In for Ramsey?
Yeah, same.
Yeah, same.
I say no to youth.
I say no to sentimentality.
Yeah, I say you play your £38 million player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, yeah.
Trust him with to do his job.
You know, you can imagine Christian Perslow, can't you? Dean, this starting Ramsey in front of that player I gave you, you know, 30 plus million for, how long do you see this going on for? And then
he's thinking about the profitability of Ramsey's transfer fee going up.
Dean, this 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, however you want to call it, the one that excludes Leon Bailey from the team, how long are you thinking of carrying this on? Because I did give you 30 million for that Bailey. We shall see.
Because Dean, I did just get a message from one Steve Bruce saying, Christian, see, I'd play four up front with what you've got.
Andreas asks, early days, but how has the Ings-Watkins partnership been working so far, and do you see Smith sticking with it? Oh, this is the Duragor question when they haven't scored many goals, but and then suddenly the reaction is, oh no, they shouldn't be playing it. Well, it's like, if they're two of our best players, for starters, they're pretty much going to start. But also, we've been playing, you know, we've been away at Chelsea, away at Spurs, away at Manchester United. Things are going to get a bit easier, and we've only just started. And, you know, they're playing a different formation without our most, potentially our, let's say, prime movers, our Sparks, Buendia and Bailey playing. So
certainly these are the dynamic.
Yeah, in terms of creating chances. So, I'm not even thinking of judging Ings or Watkins.
Now, they're not particularly wasteful in front of goal, especially Ings. He hasn't had any chances the last probably three games.
Yeah, he didn't see as much as the ball against Spurs, but still, you know, pressing very well against United. He saw a lot more of the ball and was pressing very well. But he's very much, to be honest with you, I've been pleasantly surprised what Ings brings to the party. Kind of his all-round game. He can drop deep, he presses well, he gets around. He's, you know, I thought he was just a deadly finisher, but actually he's got a more rounded game.
Well, he's got a mature game, as he should at the age he's at. I just think actually he was probably scoring more when we were playing too wide many the side of him, but the changing system will take a while to click.
And once Bailey and Buendia get on the pitch, that's when you're going to see those two hitting the net a lot more. But yeah, I no problems with it. I'd stick with it, no problems. They are two of the first names on the team sheet. Right, before we go, I just want to say a big, big, big thank you to the My Almost Said patrons for supporting the show. A big thanks to the new good folk that have signed up, Benji Jones, Matt Hassell, Richard Bayless, Ahmad Fuda, and also to three chaps who have signed up as annual patrons. If you sign up for an annual membership, you get 2 months free, which is 15%. Steve Schmidt, James Barker, and Matt Jakeman. When you become a My Old Man Said patron, you get access to the ever-living Match Club, the 24/7 private club of the My Old Man Said universe, and also access to the My Old Man Said podcast extra channel, which is up and running now. I just did actually a off the record my solo podcast where I talk more about supporter issues, so a recap of what's been going on behind the scenes, a need for Aston Villa supporters to really galvanize some kind of supporter group and get their act together, because in the end there's a few things slipping through the net where other clubs have better supporter representation, but you can hear all about that on that episode. So please do join us as a patron. Go to myomansaid.com and click on the patron link in the menu bar to find out more details and how to sign up there. Thank you very much. Right. Also, don't forget to spread the word on the podcast on Twitter. If you see the tweets, just please do give us a retweet if you enjoy listening to the show. It helps get the word out in a saturated market, which tend not to think about it. We kind of plow our own lane, but it's good to get it out there in case it comes in front of like-minded people who know what we're talking about. Don't forget also to follow it on whatever podcast app you are listening to, so you get notifications as soon as new shows pop. Right, let's break out the Sun Lounger, and Phil can do that in the Monaco of the UK, but I don't know what we're going to have to probably.
I'm off to Burton Albion, glamorous Burton, Papa John's trophy. Yeah.
Oh well, you got to get your kicks somewhere, I suppose. Until we return to the Dogheads visiting our patch, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.